Beloved friends, we welcome you to the daily broadcast and to the ministry of God's precious word again. We welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How very great is our privilege and the opportunity to read and to study the greatest book in the universe. That is the word of God. May I truly present the thought, someday all the books of the men out this world will vanish away. But the prophet Isaiah has written, the greatest book in the universe, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The greatest, the most and the best instructed school of learning, my beloved friend, is the University of the Bible. It possesses 66 classrooms, which you can investigate, and the tuition is free. And with the most competent teacher in the universe, a divine person, the Holy Spirit. But don't ever think that you will know it all. You never will. You can study if you live to be as old as Methuselah, and still you will have much to learn. Yet, by the way, are you really enrolled in this university? Have you been saved and begun your spiritual education? We must press on to follow the words of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. In the great Olivet Discourse, we have come to Matthew chapter 25. In the opening chapter we have the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. In a recent message relating to the coming of the Lord, we studied this in great detail. But today's message, we will be brief but clear. Like the preceding parable, it emphasizes the need of being prepared for the Lord's return. It is applicable to the saints of the church, and it can be applied even to those Jewish believers who will form the godly remnant who pass through the great tribulation at the threshold of the Lord's glorious and visible manifestation when he comes to the earth. Once again, let us use it in a present application for our special advantage today. In simple outline, the parable describes the state of all Christendom, consisting of the true and the false, and what will take place someday. The bridegroom will come. In verses 1 through 4, it presents the entire Christian profession, expecting the Lord's return, and especially in the days of early Christianity. All of them were going forth to meet the bridegroom, looking for him to come. The distinction of five of the virgins being wise and five foolish is evident proof that some were called wise because they provided oil for the lamps, and the others were foolish because they took no oil with them. Any student of Scripture will recognize the reference to oil can but typify the Holy Spirit. This type of the Holy Spirit is especially abundantly seen in Old Testament typology, as well as from the New Testament it is clearly taught. And the New Testament teaches that everyone in this age who believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ possesses the Holy Spirit. Paul writing to state, upon believing ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. And again in Romans 8:9, he verifies the same truth. We can and we do conclude that the wise virgins represent true born again believers whose lamp of testimony is supported by the Holy Spirit's presence. Therefore the foolish virgins, though professing to be Christ, yet never having been born again, they have not the Spirit of God, and they are none of His, as Paul wrote in Romans 8:9. But notice in the parable, though the early church expected the return of the Lord, we read they all slumbered and slept. Once again, the promise of the Lord's return was lost sight of until centuries later, when the midnight cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Students of Scripture and of history will agree, as we have stated preceding messages, will agree that before this century, the 19th century and into the 20th, there came a great revival of prophetic truth concerning the coming of the Lord. Many hearts were stirred, consciences were indeed provoked, souls were awakened, and the Spirit of God raised up teachers to expound the Word of God more perfectly. Evangelical movements at home and abroad reached out with the gospel and the Word of God. It was one of the most active missionary ventures of the past century, beginning and continuing under the Spirit of God's power. Saints began to go out to meet the coming Lord. Sinners also were awakened and sought the Lord. I think of one well-known servant of God of this present century, now with the Lord. If I would mention his name, you would know him well. I recall that he once said to me, "Brother Bramhall, do you know why I saw so many people around this area saved in my early ministry?" And he told me it was through the preaching of the second coming of Christ. Yes, my beloved friend, we ask the question of you, has he been able to awaken you? Listen to the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And it means that if you're not saved, you better get saved now. But note the sequel in the parable. The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So the wise, representing the genuine true believers possessing the Spirit of God, having oil in their lamps, they went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Here come the foolish afterward. "Yes, but it is a closed door," and they cry, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But it was too late. He answered, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." They did not even belong to him. My beloved friend, we raise the question, are you a true born-again believer? Or are you just a professing church member, professing to be a Christian without any experimental knowledge of God's salvation in your soul? I recall the solemn words of a fellow preacher whom I knew pastored a church down in the state of South Carolina. On one occasion he said to me, "Brother Bramhall, I preach the gospel to the members of my church, but I tremble to think there are so many of them not even born again, and they will not come to the Lord." My beloved, this situation can be multiplied beyond number. And if any friend listening thinks that the church can save you, you better put that out of your mind and heart. Christ is the only Savior of sinners. Did not Paul declare, or rather Peter, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved"? There is no church that can save you. There is no preacher that can save you. There is no priest that can save you. There's only one Savior. 'Tis the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the Lord's admonition to your heart, my friend. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24 and verse 44. Make sure that you are saved and ready for the coming of the Lord. But then let me add another note of warning. From the Lord's final words to the foolish virgins, notice what he declares to them. "I know you not." Now, I am very sorry to state, there are some, and I know of them personally, who have taught that the foolish virgins are worldly-minded believers who must pass through the great tribulation in order to be purged and made fit for the coming of the Lord. Their interpretation, which they give, make all the 10 virgins Christians, whether they are called wise or foolish. They believe they are all genuine believers. I'm sorry to know that such is being and has been taught. And I say it of even one of the most gifted teachers I've ever read. But listen, let me ask you a simple question. Will the Lord Jesus Christ ever say to anyone who trusts him as their Savior, I know you not? Would the shepherd ever say to his sheep, I don't know you? I think of his words when on the earth saying, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. Neither shall any pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, and you may read verses 28 and 29 and 30 in particular. Beloved, may I say, once you're his sheep, you're his forever. I give unto them eternal life. And may I raise the question, if you think that they can lose eternal life, then it cannot be eternal. What is the life that he gives to those who trust him? Eternal life. You read the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John, and John writes to say, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life through believing in his name. And if you read that Epistle of John, I would invite you to underscore the word K-N-O-W. You'll find it 27 times in your English version. And you'll find it, if you read the Greek version, you'd find it 42 times. I know that I'm saved, a believer can state. Yes, in the words of the dear old chorus, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Shout it o'er, with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I in the hollow of his hand. Beloved, he's coming. If you're a believer, wake up. Look for him. Wait and be listening for the shout. If you're not a believer, come on, get saved. Don't put it off today. Father, we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Sanctify thy truth to the conviction of sinners and their salvation and the blessing of saints. Amen.